Okay, so I'd say let's begin because it's Sunday night on the East Coast and people have to work. And John Gary, if he's lucky, can still have his evening if we hurry up, right? Because it's only 6 o'clock there. Who wants to... I'm the convener, but I need not be chair. And in fact, I don't even know that, frankly, that we need to be that formal. But we do need someone to take notes. So who's willing or available, I should probably say. Hey, we have three secretaries in the line.
Well, maybe that's why we don't want any more work. But...
Oh, the notes on this are going to be very brief.
Okay, I'll take brief notes. No conversations, just any minutes, not minutes, motions.
Okay, so you might want to start with, okay, so sorry, you know what happened? My word seems to have crashed between this morning when I turned off the computer and now that I'm turning it back on. So now that I've hit Word to get a document to work with, everything that had been on the table is popping back up. Give me 1 second to get a clean page. Okay, so it is Serene Roberts. It is 9:10 Eastern, 6:10 Pacific, and I would like to call the meeting to order. And William Heerwagen has volunteered enthusiastically to serve as secretary. Present on the call, John P. Gary, secretary at KPFK, C. Jane Gatewood, secretary at WPSW, and so we'll begin. I'm surprised Nancy isn't here. She loves these things. Meetings, I mean. Anyway, okay. I don't think we'll necessarily need a timekeeper, but will someone volunteer just in case? In case like 12 people join the call, immediately after we approve the agenda. Okay, William.
Hello.
You're willing to be timekeeper and secretary?
No. No, I have hard enough time taking notes. I can't be trying to set a timekeeper. I'm sorry.
Okay, Jane or Donna, either of you in a position to keep time? I don't, you know, the times aren't rigid. They're just suggested and, you know. Is that a yes, I am, or a no, I'm not? Are you guys there?
This is Jane. I'm here, but I'm not in a position to take notes. I'm sorry. I'm still
just to keep time. William is taking notes.
No, I'm not capable.
No problem.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Is that good?
John?
Do you need timing for individual speakers and for the agenda?
Not just for the total agenda item. I mean, there are only four of us. I can't imagine we're really just going to go on and on.
Okay, I just need to see the agenda.
Okay. Oh, I didn't send it to you? Or do you,
no, I need to open it or reopen it.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, I mean, they're just approximate times. I don't even think we're necessarily going to use as much time as is there, but...
Uh, What's the title? What's the draft, the agenda called?
It's in the body of the email that I sent early this, late your night.
Oh, it's in the
night.
Body? Of, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right. I can be a service timekeeper.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So we've done roll call. And has anyone, I know Janet Colburn sent something. I'm sorry, I'm just getting back in the door, so I haven't even had a chance to read what she sent. Did anyone else have a chance to look at what she sent?
I didn't get anything from her.
No, I saw something, but I haven't read it. I'll try to read it now. This is William.
Are you online, Jane?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll forward it. John, did you get it? Because she, I don't know, she said she BCC'd committee members, but I guess she didn't BCC, she didn't include the secretaries. Let me just send that right now. Okay, and basically she says that she, a third file, she sent some changes to what I sent, and it is, they are aqua colored. Okay, so we will, let's look at hers, which, would be basically the one I sent with whatever changes she has made. I'm opening it now. I assume you guys are too.
Could you please identify the document we're supposed to be opening now?
Okay, so Janet Colburn sent the document term status and questions. She sent three documents, that, a copy of the KPFA LSB minutes. I assume it's about the Andrea Pritchett seating date, which I had already corrected. To match what the secretary had in his roster, and then apparently when we get to recommendations, she has some things she would like to add on that document. So we're going to start by looking at what was named delegates' terms status, and she has added her initials to it and offered some changes. One second. Do you have it? It's the first of the three documents in the email that I just forwarded from her. Well,
I have it, but I have to open Google Docs to get to it.
I'm sorry, what in that message is of relevant to what?
Nancy, KPFT, sorry, late.
Hey, we were just wondering where you were. we are at this point, by the way, it's William Heerwagen, who's our pro tem secretary, John Pigliari, who's the secretary at K, serving as timekeeper, and Jane Gatewood from DC secretary. Who are currently on the line, just the four of us, and now you make five. Okay. So we were looking at Janet Colburn's quote, corrections and revision.
Okay.
In an email that she sent. Did you get an email from her? Perhaps
yes.
It was BCT. Okay, great.
Which document was it, Serene?
The one called Delegates Terms, Status, and Questions.
Okay.
with Janet Coburn's initials and towards the end.
I have the one that says August 30th, LSB Terms Work Group, five attachments.
No, okay, that's the one that I sent out last night, but this evening, Janet Coburn, a couple hours ago, Janet Coburn sent out some what she describes as corrections.
Oh, okay. Could someone forward to me if they have time?
I can send it. She said she'd send it to the governor.
Okay.
That's okay. It doesn't matter. Let me send it to you now.
Time sensitive? Is that how it starts? No, that's
no.
July 18th. That's the old one. Okay. No, I don't have it.
Okay. I just sent it to you.
Thank you.
You should get it in a minute. Okay. The KPFA. Okay, this. Does everyone have that document open?
Yes, William has it.
Sorry? Okay. Okay, so we'll just begin. Nancy, you'll catch up with us. She begins by mentioning that Andrea Pritchett should be in the first category. She is, in fact, in the first category. So she was not there, I think, on a draft that I had sent out maybe last week or I don't remember when, sometime before. But it's actually not a, quote, correction to the version that we're working with, but whatever.
Correct.
Sorry?
I agree.
Her next point is that she wants information about, which again, you know, it's not a correction. She wants information about three WBAI LSB terms indicating who these three people replaced. That's fine. Minutes can be sent to her. I'm sure someone has them. I know what happened on these terms because I was actually at two of the three meetings in question. The next issue she raises is with regard to D.C., and I think we'll wait and just discuss D.C. when we get to D.C., and that is not a correction. It is a comment. The next – are you guys following along with me? Or I just want to be sure.
Yes.
Not to get the – okay. The next paragraph begins the following – the original paragraph begins the following – current delegates are in seats that would have had terms ending in 2015, et cetera. I see she added the words to extend the terms. I don't remember the language in the original. I'd have to go back and open it up. But there's no change in meaning of substance. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but if you're going to stick with the original plan of dealing with one station at a time, going through Janet's notes here is going to get you all discombobulated. I don't know which way you want to proceed, if you want to just go through your report with Janet's notes or if you want to stick with the original plan of one station, the 5 minutes for each state. How do you want to proceed? What are we doing?
My intention... Sorry.
William, for the stack.
Go ahead.
Since most of these are not really changes, they're comments or suggestions, I say we get rid of all of this, except, as you said, we'll discuss PFW separately since that's a big issue, lots of details.
So go through the document with Janet's notes with skipping over PFW and dealing with all that at once.
Well, what I'm trying to do is really to go through and see if there are any actual corrections. I know that her opinion may be different from mine, and Your opinions, since you're on the call, may also be different from mine and from hers, and that's fine, and we'll deal with that when we get to discussing each station. I'm actually looking at what she sent to see if there's any actual factual change needed in the original. So far, I haven't seen one.
Agreed.
Okay, so I just, because if there are corrections, then when we get to discussing the individual stations, then we'll get into those corrections and discuss everything about those stations. I don't think these are not corrections. They're a different way of saying things, and that's fine, but, you know, anyway. So what I'd like to do is to just continue running through this to see if there are any factual corrections. Okay?
Okay, with William.
Does that answer your question, Jane?
It's fine.
Okay. Okay, going back up to... Right, with regard to KPFA, they do have 25 board members. I don't need four delegates because the 25th person, which I did reference, that I mentioned that there are 25 because of the associate station, but I should have been clearer that there are 24 Pacifica delegates and there are 25 KPFA LSD members. I only inserted that really so folks would understand why they were looking at a count of looking at a total of 25 names coming out of KPFA as opposed to 24 for everyone else. Okay, so there's that. She's asking for more information there. She's commenting on...
William with a comment?
Yeah.
Up the previous paragraph above KPFA about extending the terms, she added some words, I think. Then she has in parentheses, says who about the people being replaced by runners-up. That's according to the bylaws, so that's not...
Well, yeah, I mean, says the bylaws. I assume that was a joke. I did. That's why I didn't even respond to it, because it is clear that we're governed by bylaws and the process for replacing people, the language says the last certified election. If, in fact, this election is not certified... Then we go back to the previous certified election, which, you know, I don't know who's left on it. But if not, then, you know, the LSV will have to, as delegates assembly, appoint someone to fill whatever seat is vacant. I didn't go anywhere with that. I didn't think it was serious. She wants documentation about seating. Yes, we know, I think I mentioned in the narrative, certain people among the PFW delegates have registered for election and some have not. And we'll deal with that when we discuss PFW in greater detail. I think... That the other comment is also with regard to PFW, so we'll deal with that. Same for the next set of comments regarding the Marcus Jetta, Nancy Sorden seating to replace Lizette King and Jane Zara. Where I have new election, I'm sorry, again, that's PFW, so we'll deal with that when we'll get to it. When we get to that section. Okay, all that stuff is PFW. We're not going to do that right now. That's PFW. And we'll deal with this last. When I talked about better supporting the process, I was specifically referring to the election. Not the process of determining delegate seats, but we will treat her response, we'll deal with her response when we get to talking about recommendations. Certainly I'm concerned about this managed by a single individual with access controls, da-da-da-da-da, well, we'll deal with that when we get to recommendations. We actually have on the PNB a secretary and an assistant secretary, so I would certainly expect that even if something were being, if it were primarily the responsibility of the secretary, that the assistant secretary would have full access. I mean, none of us are here forever, you know, so we don't want to create a situation where only one person can do something. You want to build in a certain amount of redundancy and shared responsibility and shared access, but we'll deal with that when we get your recommendations. Okay, so I think we can now go to the original report and see if anyone has any questions about that.
Well, this is Jane, just for general comment.
Sure.
It's very confusing having the listener members and the staff members merged together. I just think that it would be much easier to follow if you distinguish between the two classes of member, if you had them listed separately. Because I couldn't for the life of me figure out who Charles was at first when I looked at that list and was thinking, who is Charles? And I finally figured out it was Abby Charles, right?
Yeah.
But Ola replaced Abby Charles. I'm not sure exactly how. Oh, no, that Ola replaced Kit. Never mind. Disregard that. But in any case, I do think it would be easier for everybody to follow if you had the two classes and members separated out in that report.
That's fine. I think, well, I mean, it's not confusing to me, even at stations where I'm, you know, well, I'm only a member of one station, right? I guess I'm simply more familiar with the names. I don't mind breaking it down further. But the point is that this would actually accompany the station's LSB roster. So, and the membership categories are there. But that's fine. No problem. Secretary, will you make a note?
Yeah.
That for each station's listing, we should break it further into listener and staff category. Okay, so
sure.
going through the original document, does anyone see, well, I know we don't have someone on from every listing area, like nobody's here from A, but does anyone see any problems or errors or anything with their individual station area as currently listed? In terms of breaking everybody up into those folks whose seats will be vacant this December, as opposed to those folks who are carrying over into 2016.
Well, this is Jane. I see a lot of confusion with PFW, but we can deal with that in a minute.
Yeah.
Serene?
Yes.
This is John.
Uh-huh.
I have a when we get to KPFK, I have a question about delegate ineligibility to raise at that time.
Okay, we can do it now.
I'm trying to find the part of the bylaws. When a LSB member leaves the board, they cannot run again for, is it 1 year, or there's a buffer between elections, correct?
1 year. If they've served 6 continuous years, they must be off completely for a year. Now, that... they cannot sit for a year, but obviously they can participate in elections leading to a seating,
right,
a year later.
If that's the case, our list of delegate ineligibility may need changing because John Wenger recently retired from the board. He was seated in August as a replacement, so his six-year term started earlier than people who were elected. He was an alternate, and then he was elected. So he should also be ineligible. He's not currently a member, but he should also be ineligible, is what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Where is he now?
Well, he's off the board, but I'm just saying that you have a list of delegate ineligibility, which includes I'm just saying John Wenger is kind of in in between state because he's leaving a little bit earlier than anybody else. So he's
right.
He's an ineligible recent delegate. He's not currently seated. So he's in a kind of a in between thing. I don't know if it's necessary to add his name or not. It may not be necessary. I don't know if he's running. I don't know if he's running. Actually, he's probably not running.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
It's not important. I don't think he's actually running. So I'm just saying that's just a minor. That's just a minor variation in our roster. It's probably not really. That's all I need to say on it, probably.
Okay. No, I do on the roster. I do have him terming out. I think it was August 18th.
Correct.
2009. He was seated, so he's off. And ordinarily, then he would be on the list, except that since you guys had no quorum, all of your seats are open this year, and Wenger, I think, might be the only person who is who would be term limited if all the seats weren't open.
Well, there's a sub-list of people but some people who've served less than 6 years can run again. People who haven't finished up their 6 years can run again.
Right, but I'm saying Wenger, you're saying, if I understand it correctly, that Wenger is one of those people who, even if you weren't dealing with having to elect a full board, he would still not be eligible to run.
Correct, but it's just a minor thing. I don't think he's running, but I just want to say there's just one anomalous person in that group.
Okay, I will add. Can you make a note of that, William?
Okay.
Please. I'll specifically
add to which group?
Add
it to which group?
Wenger. We should add to the comment where it says the following delegates are sitting in seats that are up for election this year. And for KPFK, we have all because there was no election quorum, yada, yada, yada. And then in the next paragraph, in KPFK, people whose seats would continue into next year, we have none. We should, in parentheses, in each case, put that resigned, I guess, just termed off member John Wenger met six continuous years in August of 2015 and is not eligible to sit on the board in any capacity until at the earliest August of 2016. So even if they don't perform at the next election and having to appoint people or whatever the case is, he can't get back on the board until August 2016. Is that good enough, John?
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks. Nancy?
Yes.
Anything about KPFT that catches your eye? You there?
Hello? Oh, did I mute myself? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, it was KPFT, what's written there is fine.
You say it seems fine?
Yeah, it looks fine for KPFT. Although I don't have Janet's last email yet, but...
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
She didn't say anything. I've closed it out now, but I don't recall her saying anything about KPFT. Does anyone remember seeing any comments about that?
No. It's William.
Okay. So, yeah, just based on the original, then, Nancy, do you see anything that raises a red flag for you?
No, no, no red flags.
Or any other color. Okay, so now, DC. So, Jane, you want to kind of describe things for folks?
Well, starting with the staff, I'm going to point out the quirkiness of this appointment system. So I read your notes carefully, and I adjusted my table accordingly because I had a very hard time following your narrative. So you pointed out that the National Election Supervisor had switched Eve to a one-year term and Kiana a three-year term, which meant that Eve's term ended December 2013, and when I fill that in on my chart, so we appointed Jim Brown to replace Eve, so his current LSB service began December 2013, and according to what this system what you're saying is that his current term ended December 2013. In other words, he inherited Eve's term, which ended December 2013, and he inherited it on December 2013. So it looked pretty damn stupid, but I agree that's a literal interpretation of this system. So, the other correction you made was that Campbell Johnson.
Let me just explain for people, or remind people what happened. Eve's term would have expired in 2013. Did expire in 2013. Actually, some people believe his term actually expired in October of that year because apparently he was seated early. But I can't dig that up. And what has happened has happened. But anyway, he was off the board in 2013 because of having served at least 6 years continuously. And the board appointed Jim Brown to replace him. We were expecting to have an election in 2013, but that election was postponed. It doesn't change the fact that Eves was there as a result of a 2010 election, and therefore technically his term expired in December 2013. But since we didn't have elections, they had to fill the seat. They filled it by appointment, and Jim remained on the board, is still on the board, and has put in his papers for election this year. So everyone on the boards, all of the people on the boards, except for those who've met their 6 years, who were elected in 2010 or seated in 2010 and were expected to leave in 2013, is still on the board. So that's why, although it's a different person, it's the same seat. You clear?
Well, I mean, it just doesn't. All right.
No, I know it's clear to you because you lived it, but I'm asking the others if they understand how we end up with Jim being seated at the in the same month that the seat he was being placed into would normally have been open for election.
Ms. William, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to just say it's all a technicality at this point. Except for some nuances, which I'll get to next. So I agree, if that's what the election supervisor said, then that's fine. Technically, what you stated is correct. It's a little bit hard to follow, but everything about this is. But so the issue that is not accurate, in my opinion, and which
When I interrupted you to explain that, you were going to go on to Campbell and, I guess, Bruce Waltz. Do you want to do that?
Right. So you corrected two things in the list. You said that the term endings were not 100% based on the election tallies from 2000. 12 because, well, first of all, everybody needs to know that all of our delegates, every one of them, was elected in 2012 because we did not have quorum in 2010. So people were given 1 or 3 year terms. And in the case of both Jim Brown and Campbell Johnson, I'm sorry, Yves Pointe-Jour and Campbell Johnson, because their 6 year term limit was approaching as of the December 2013, the 1 year time frame, the election supervisor switched them to 1 year terms based on the fact that they were going to be term limited anyway. So Serene caught that change, which I didn't have any official record of, so that's how I missed that. So with those two corrections, the term end dates, for example, Serene notes that Ermias Wosanu inherited Bruce Wolf's term end date of December.
Tell us what document you're looking at, which of the documents you're looking at.
Yours. You said that, well, I mean, you wrote it, and I wouldn't have figured it out except for you mentioned in an earlier message that I had missed that. So in you mentioned that somewhere in your narrative that Ermias is among the group who's the PMB extended the term for an extra year, because you say that he inherited Bruce Wolf's. I thought Bruce Wolf's term, Bruce Wolf originally had a 1 year term. Ermias replaced Bruce Wolf. But then because of something the election supervisor did after the election, he switched Bruce to a 3 year term, so therefore Ermias inherited that 3 year term. So on a technicality, you know, you may be right. What it comes down to is that Ermias Ermias has not been able to attend. He's only attended a few meetings every year. He's not active on any committee. Because of his personal life, he has not been able to be engaged with the board. And, I mean, I think somebody should ask him if he really wants to continue. So your narrative, it's a literal interpretation of what... Am I interrupting you? I'm sorry, I keep hearing something. Okay, I'll continue. So... So that change that you made to the term ending date, technically, yes, I see what you did and it seems proper. But when you look at the real world, I think the question becomes, hey, Ermias, are you in a position to become engaged and, you know, become active? And so I would ask that question first. And on a general note, I think the same principle would apply to all of these suggestions for how to deal with it. I would ask the board. I would ask the LSB. I know that some variations, maybe the elections committee or a prior work group, thought that it should not be up to the local station board to decide how to deal with these questions, but I don't think there's anybody better to deal with these questions than the local station board. I'm not a delegate any longer. I'm not a voting member, so I don't have a vested interest in it. I have a general feeling that the people who have joined recently, who are active, I feel like if they want to continue, they should be given, you know, they should just be given those seats. I feel like that would be a logical approach. The people who have not been able to attend, like Ermias, I think we should ask him. I think that the LSB should be informed of the questions about term endings, you know, the difficulties, and allowed to, you know, formulate the most appropriate response. I think that they would be in a better position than this work group or even the elections committee or the PMB, because they know what's going on the ground. But
okay, so let's, go ahead.
Serene, we've been on this item for 11 minutes out of five.
Strictly on PFW?
On KPF.
On PFW.
Well, each station was supposed to get 5 minutes, and we extended that for this item.
Right. Well, all the other stations were going to get 5 minutes, and then we were going to spend about half an hour dealing with PFW. But you're saying altogether we've been...
Well, okay. I'm just going by the old agenda. That's fine.
Okay. How much time have we spent talking about this? Seems long.
Well, KPFT since 6:37. I'm sorry. Whatever station you just talked about.
PFW.
Yep.
Okay.
So okay. 6:37.
Okay. So we were going to spend half an hour dealing with PFW because that's the most complex situation. I mean, folks may disagree about particular dates for different people, but PFW, the whole system, frankly, seems to have broken down.
If I could make two more general comments first.
Yeah, let me just tell folks that the discussion about PFW really begins on page 2 of 4, you know, that narrative report, beginning with the paragraph, the full third of WPFW seats. You guys see that? On the document entitled Delegates Terms, Status and Questions, updated version 2.
Okay, so
yeah.
But actually it begins on page 1, or I don't know what page it is, because so where you say the following current delegates are in seats that would have had term ends and endings in December 2015, except that the PMB has decided to continue those seats into 2016. Okay, so then when you get to PFW down there, you have three staff members, Elias, Faircloth, and whoever properly replaced Holden, okay?
Okay.
But Faircloth is term limited. So we need to put an asterisk next to Faircloth because if she's going to be she's term limited in December anyway. Then
right, that's why she's listed in the opening paragraph.
I know that, but it's hard to follow. So we're talking about staff. So we've got three staff members, Elias, Faircloth, and Holden, okay? So and whoever properly replaced Holden, and there's a question about that, right? So those three are the staff seats, and Faircloth is term limited. So that gets that just needs to be kind of highlighted with an asterisk or whatever. Remember, this person.
It's already clearly mentioned in the first paragraph.
Yeah, but it's hard to follow this. It's really hard to follow this. So then you go back. So then the remaining nine people in this list are. Staff, our listeners. So you've got whoever replaced Bird, Collarier, Diaz with an asterisk. You should put an asterisk next to his name because he is term limited.
That's mentioned
Douglas
in the first.
Sarah, Norman, Tucker should get an asterisk next to him. Turner, and then you've got Wozno, and then.
Okay, here's why I think your idea of putting an asterisk next to them is not a necessary one. I mean, if folks want it, I don't see that it makes anything clearer. Because we're talking here about people who are in seats that are carrying over till the next year. We've already at the outset, defined or identified, the people
who individually cannot go forward. But here we're really talking about the seat. And
oh, okay.
Jane, I'll let you speak. I don't see that would introduce a significant level of clarity, but this is your board, and if you find it confusing, I'll certainly be happy to put the asterisk there, you know, to clarify it further.
Well,
but those three people who are affected are already listed as people who can't go beyond December 15, regardless of
okay.
what happens.
Right. So then you come down to specifically, no, where I can't find where you talk about the seats that are to be filled. Where does that go? Where do you begin that? So where are the 12 people who you say do need to be filled? Where is that?
That's the paragraph that you were just reading.
No, those are the ones who don't need to be filled, supposedly.
The second paragraph, on page one, the second paragraph, it says the following delegates are sitting in seats that are up for election this year. Is that what you're referring to?
Okay. No, I'm all right.
It's right up top, just under the 6 year.
All right. So you have Brown, who is a staff person. All right. And then you have whoever replaced Sit is a staff person. I mean, they're going to try to appoint replacements for me and for Jeter in December, okay? I mean, next month, in September. So you're saying that whoever the LSV appoints in next month, that those terms are going to be up in December because those are the people who are replacing me and Jeter. And I think there's a general feeling that I don't know. This is so confusing. My main concern is that if there are going to be elections, there needs to be a minimum number of candidates. And given that,
okay, Jane, wait. We've got to focus on one thing at a time and resolve one thing at a time and move on. I know that you feel, you know, a certain way about the number of people that should be participating in elections. That's not what we're talking about right now. That's a separate issue. Let's finish looking at the seats and if there are any questions about the seats as they're currently divided.
Okay, you've got seats to be filled. You've got Brown, who's a staff person, whoever replaced Stitt, who's a staff person. Who's the other staff person? I'm looking in here. I can't find it. Oh, whoever plays Fernandez. Okay, so you have seats to be filled, Brown, whoever plays Fernandez, and whoever plays Stitt. And I'm going to say the term limited member, Kiana Faircloth, right? So you've got four people to be filled.
No, Kiana had a 3-year seat.
But she's term limited in December, so why don't you go ahead? How does it get filled then, except by election?
Jane, calm down. Okay, the fact is that our bylaws create staggered seats. Every LSB has had to follow. You're filling this term. You're filling that term. In as much as there seems to have been some sort of confusion or miscommunication and different people feel differently about what happened, whatever happened, we need, in my view, and that's one of the recommendations that this task force will be carrying forward to the committee tomorrow, however we decide, that the bylaws should have been observed if there was a failure to observe the bylaws and people were given incorrect information, the only fair way to solve it is either to have everybody draw straws so everybody has the equal chance of getting a long seat or a shorter term or a longer term, you know, go back and do it retroactively, and that's precisely what I suggest in places where, you know, three people were replacing three people. You can't roll back the clock and ask everybody what they thought or felt or understood in December. But in the one case where there actually was an STV election because there were two seats and five people, our STV rules should be applied. Now, we end up with a situation, and that's the problem. We end up in a situation where people who, I don't know what they thought or what they heard or what they were told. I know you said to me when we spoke that some of these people, that you can't say for sure that they understood what term they were necessarily inheriting, because you thought everybody was going to be replaced in 2015, and that's what you said, that's what you shared. So I don't know that. I mean, we can discuss the solution or the possible solution or the fairest solution, and who should really undertake it, or whether we should just do the best that we can. Apply the bylaws where there's an opportunity to do it, and in other places where it seems completely random, have people draw straws and see what the results are. But I don't, you know, it becomes very dicey when, after people have been working together for 6 months, you ask the board to decide who gets what term. That stuff should be decided before the person is seated. There was a problem, and it wasn't clear who was getting what, but I don't think that the best way to resolve it is necessarily, the charges of partisanship are rife. You know, it's all over Pacifica all the time about nothing sometimes. But this is one case where somebody's going to be extremely unhappy, and there's going to be no way to ever convince them that a decision that they don't necessarily like was not partisan. It has to be something that is completely random, where everybody has the same chance of success or failure, depending on how you define time on the board. But, you know, we should, for the others, go through each of the steps and each of the elections and what happened. And then people can say, well, here's what I think would be a reasonable solution. We take those recommendations to the elections committee. I don't know where it'll end up.
Can I get a sec?
Anybody else wanted to? Do folks even know what we're discussing, or do we need to go back and, you know, ask
William for the stack.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, are people aware of the issue, of the problem, or do you need an explanation of what's at stake?
This is William for the spec.
I understood you, but I'm asking a specific question before anybody speaks. Do you know what we're talking about? I mean, I've been in it for a minute, and James clearly. Sorry?
William for the stack.
I think we should let William ask his question.
Go ahead,
William. My understanding is that the only recent issue that Jane brought up was Faircloth, and Faircloth should not be up for election. But then the result is, based on the seat, not on her individual term limits, but because she does have that term limit, then she would be replaced by a runner-up, according to the bylaws. But it doesn't appear there's going to be any runners-up, as you point out below. There's not enough candidates. So there's a big quandary there. But she definitely should not be in this election.
Because her seat is expiring, but she hasn't been seated for 6 years.
No, the opposite.
Okay.
No.
It's the opposite. She has been seated for 6 years, but her seat has not expired.
Oh my God.
That's not an issue that concerns us right now. She's not term limited until December. In December, when she's term limited, whatever the bylaw provision, that applies, either because there's been a certified election and there's a runner-up pool, or there has not been a certified election, or there were not enough staff candidates, and then the body has to find a way to appoint someone into the seat that she's currently holding. You know, whichever
Correct.
Provision applies will be applied.
Well, in so the possibilities are either the seat will be filled with an election or, oh, all right, okay. So I don't understand. I thought 6 years was it. I didn't think there was any leeway on that principle.
No.
The question is how she will be replaced or whether she can run again. What's the?
No. She's in December. She's done for at least a year.
Okay.
However, the seat in which she sits was a seat that in 2012 was given a 3-year term. It's a 3-year seat, which means that it would normally be up in 2015 in December, but we know that those seats are carrying over until the 2016 election. So her seat continues into 2016. Her role in that position does not. Her role in that position is done in December 2015.
And the dispute is?
I don't know what the dispute is. I don't think there's a dispute. I mean, Jane said she wants to put asterisk.
Well, no, Jane said that she should be up for election, and I say no, she's not up for election.
Well, Jane thinks the seat should be up for election. Jane, correct me if I'm misquoting you. You think the seat should be up for election, correct?
No.
Okay, what were you saying? What was the problem with Faircloth? Or her seat?
I'm saying that when we get to the topic, which I think is the critical topic, which is the minimum number of candidates that can be considered to be adequate for holding an election, it needs to be recognized that that seat has to be filled by, it's going to, you know, we need a runner-up to fill that. Well, I mean, we don't need a runner-up. Just fuck the runner-up. So let's just continue to fill it the way we've been filling it, which is just begging people to join us to help out. That's fine, too. Okay, I don't have any complaint with that. It's fine. It's stupid, but I don't have any complaint with it.
No,
it's fine. Okay. The reason why I'm saying that it's stupid is because it's not working for us here, okay? That's the only reason I'm saying it's stupid. But you know, you're looking at applying the technical requirements, so I'm not going to belabor that point. I'm just saying that
I understand your point.
I do not. I feel that it's very, very important that we respect the members, and if we're going to hold an election and we're going to say that their choice matters, that and yet you're going to require that we fill the vacancies with runners up. I mean, you may have somebody that nobody thinks is qualified to serve as a board member, but because they run, then they're going to be in that pool of runners-up, then we are mandated to fill that seat with that individual. And so that's the concern that I was trying to get to. But you're just dealing with the matter of the seats, and that's what I wanted to speak to. But
we'll get to the election situation at PFW, because I do think that warrants some discussion. But
the reason I'm on the stack was for a different topic. I'm just responding to your question. That was not why I was on the stack. So I hope I responded to your question adequately.
Okay, so you guys understand that there is no issue with Faircloth or any of the others, really, who will be term limited. The bylaws have a clear provision for how we replace people who are term limited. After, if there's a certified election, they come from that runners-up list. If it's between, if that list is exhausted, and in this case the list is exhausted before the election begins, if that list is exhausted, then the body will appoint a replacement. That is the language in the bylaws. Whether or not we want to change that is not the issue. Whether or not,
can we move on, please?
Yeah, as soon as I'm finished responding. The issue is not what will happen in December to seats that continue into next year. Our job is to discuss the status of the current seats. And those people are currently in those seats and are not, that's really not open. For, I mean, we can talk about it. But it's not really part of our focus right now.
Okay, well, then the only
thing. Are
there? Yeah, whenever I have the floor, sorry.
No. I was going to ask you, are there any factual problems in terms of the distribution?
Yes,
of
factually referring to Ron Pinchback or Riley Abbott or Thomas O'Rourke as runners-up from the prior election, that is factually inaccurate.
Oh, what are they then?
What happened is that after we exhausted the pool of runners-up from the last election, the board discussed what process they wanted to follow to fill those vacancies. Somebody made a proposal that we should first invite the write-in candidates from the last election to fill those elections, and that motion passed. And so basically though the people wrote in a number of candidates. I would say at least half of them were staff members in the listener election. But as it turns out, two of the staff members who were written in to the listener ballot in 2012 were actually listener members now. So following the LSB motion for how to proceed with filling vacancies, we contacted the development department to find out which of these people is a current listener member. Now, of course, since all they had was a name, no other identifying information, there was no assurance that the person that was written in on that ballot was who the person intended. But wherever there was a match, a current listener member with the name that was written in, I contacted that person, and then that's we ended up with a number of people who said, yeah, I would be willing to consider to be appointed to that, fill that vacancy. So that's how we ended up appointing Ron Pinchback, a former GM, Riley Abbott, a former news programmer, and Thomas O'Rourke, a longtime listener. Actually, a long time ago, he was a volunteer staff member. But it was through that process. So once we exhausted that pool, we had to figure out, well, how are we going to fill the remaining two seats? And then we advertised it and got volunteers through that means. But referring to those people as runner-up is completely erroneous. It should not be done.
Okay. It is one thing to say that these are people who ended up on the official election results, but who had not been part of the initial ballot because they were write-in candidates. But once they are part of the election results, they are runners-up. So it's fine if you want to separate the X number of names that were on the ballot, I don't know, 20 or something, I don't remember, and the 47 names.
Point of order?
Yes.
We were told that a ruling had been made that write-ins were not to be considered the pool of runner-up. We were told that. Are you trying to say that was incorrect?
I'm not trying to say
that.
That
we were misinformed?
Okay, tell me when you're done. I'm sorry, I thought you were finished.
No, I'm just saying that's what the board was told. The board was told, because we had a PMB members look into this situation, and they said that the runners-up were not to be considered candidates. We were told that was a ruling. I mean, that the write-ins were not to be considered in the pool of runners-up.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You guys, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have joined this call This is the most frustrating thing in the world to me. You guys do whatever you want, and I will.
It's really disrespectful.
I'm really sorry.
Okay,
I'm really sorry.
You asked a question, and I would like to answer it.
I mean, so.
Work is frustrating for many of us. But
that's
to
fine.
Insult the
that's
people
fine.
On the call and to say, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore, you know, you
I
asked
shouldn't
the question.
Have joined. I shouldn't have joined. This is the whole exercise is just, it's just an exercise in futility. This whole system is not working for PFW. I mean, I can't speak for the other stations, but we have people who are really wanting to do a good job, and this system is just. It's like bureaucracy at the
Then join the governance committee and help work on improving the bylaws. You can't say we're frustrated by the
good
system.
Good luck, you guys. Good luck, you guys. If I have
everyone
time,
is frustrated.
If I have time, I'll try to get some of our board members to share their thoughts on this. I will try to get them to do that. That's the most I can do. My opinions don't matter. I disagree with most of what I'm hearing, but I can't articulate myself. So if I can get some of my fellow board members to express their thoughts on it, maybe they'll be more articulate.
Well, let me say this. I did send you this information some time ago. I did have a discussion with you. I asked you whether or not, before the call began, whether or not your LSB members even had any discussion about this. You're moving into putting in two more people in less than 2 weeks, and the eight people who've been added over the past 6 months or 7 months, there's still a lack of clarity around that.
That's a good question. That's a very good question. The answer is, to my knowledge, no. I can barely understand it. I haven't heard anybody else on our board express any understanding about this whole process. I don't know what to do about that. I really don't. But the answer is there is definitely not clarity in terms of terms. I mean, I told you this, Serene, and I haven't put it in writing. If I could afford an attorney, I would have the attorney put it in writing to the Pacifica. As far as I'm concerned, the PMB overstepped their authority when they extended terms. That's basic. It's in the bylaws. But
Jane,
but,
with all due respect, who's been in governance as long as I have, it seems to me, and as someone who's serving as the secretary of the board, it seems to me that without assigning blame, because that doesn't help resolve the issue, the aim should be to get PFW bylaw compliant and clear about what terms people have, what the implications are for this election, what the implications are for adding people next month. You know, those are issues that you should have a leadership role as secretary and the person who maintains the record.
I'm sorry. I resigned as a delegate because I don't want to be involved with this bullshit. I apologize for joining the call. If I can manage a way to try to explain this nonsense to my fellow delegate, to the current delegates, I will try to do it as best I can. But I shouldn't be involved in this conversation. I'm sorry.
You're the best person in DC to be involved in the conversation.
Yeah,
you're the board secretary.
Yeah, but I have given them all the same facts I've given you. Like I said, everybody's terms were going to be up in December of 2015. That's what the bylaws said. And so when we informed people who wanted to fill vacancies, we said these will be until the next elections. We told people based upon the facts of the bylaws, which is everybody's terms were going to be up in December 2015. And now we have to figure out a different way to proceed. Going ahead and we have another problem which this work group isn't asked to address, and that is the fact that the positions haven't really even been, I mean, the airing, Benito put it in writing to everybody about the problems with the airing of the solicitation of candidates. They haven't done anything to solicit candidates, really. Just
isn't it on the website?
I'm sorry.
Oh, do you mean for the election or for next month's replacement seat?
No, for the elections. All right. All right. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay. So we're back to looking at the document that's entitled 2012 WPFW Staff and Listeners Runners-Up. Right? You guys have that?
I'm looking.
That was distributed as part of the original package. Everybody have it?
Yeah.